The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
It's a great day. It is a great day and a great opportunity to receive from the Lord. That's my plan for you today. That's my hope and desire for you today. That's my goal, is to give you something that's not just words in your ear, background noise in your car. I want you to learn. I want you to learn what the Word of God says about who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and how do you get to where you want to go, where God wants you to go. That's what Truth Infusion is all about. I want to infuse with the help and the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see the truth infused into your spiritual life. The truth will set you free. When we know the truth, when we have experiential knowledge of the truth, the result is freedom. Whom the Son has set free is free, and free indeed. And I want to see freedom flow through the speakers, whatever kind of speakers you're listening to, car, headphones, radio, computer speakers, whatever. I want to see truth infused through those speakers, through your ears, and into your heart. And that's my prayer for you today. Heavenly Father, open our ears to hear what only you can teach us. We ask that the Holy Spirit would be the teacher right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to welcome you aboard, Truth Seekers. What we're going to do today is we're going to tear into the 12th verse of the 6th chapter of Romans. I tell you, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it is just packed full of the good stuff. This is fresh bread to the hungry man right here. If you will open your heart, I think you'll gain something powerful from this one verse out of Romans chapter 6. We spent a couple of weeks now on verse 11. We learned where Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, told us one of the first steps to claiming victory over our sin nature is to keep in our forefront, in our focus, in our vision, to keep our faith centered on the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ. And what is one of the ultimate truths that came from what Jesus did on Calvary? When you accepted that, here's what happened for you and I. We were no longer slaves to our sin nature because the power of the cross broke the power of the sin nature in our lives. So we don't have to mind him anymore. We don't have to do what he says anymore. My little kids, when they were small, they would get upset with each other and say, "You're not my boss." What they really said was, "You're not the boss of me." You've heard that. You've heard them do that. "You're not my boss." You know what? You have the ability, because of Christ and what he did at the cross and the Holy Spirit that's reigning in your life, to look at your sin nature and say, "You are not my boss. You're not the boss of me." And Romans chapter 6, verse 11 reminds us of that. When he says, Paul says, "Reckon yourselves dead to the sin nature, but alive to God through Jesus Christ." And so there's power in just remembering the truth about what God has done for us and what Jesus did at Calvary. Remember that you're dead to the sin nature and alive to Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, we're going to go on to verse 12, because I can get caught up in a third week of discussing that amazingly important verse. But we're going to move to verse 12, one of my favorites, as I said. I've preached a few sermons out of this one verse. I want to read it to you, and then we're going to get into it. There's some good teaching in this verse today. Romans 6:12 says this, "Therefore, let not the sin nature reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." Let me read it again. I want you to hear it. If you're driving, you don't have a chance to look and follow it in your Bible, so I want you to hear it again. "Therefore, let not sin," and a better translation is the sin nature. That's what Paul was saying. Let's read it that way. "Therefore, let not the sin nature reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Now, there's some powerful stuff in these few, in these small phrases put together in this one verse. I want to take it just a little bit at a time and unfold this and unpack this, and with God's help, rightly divide this for you so that it will make a difference in your life. First word, there's something to say about the very first word of this verse. Therefore. Let me give you a tip for Bible study, all you Bible scholars out there. Anytime you're reading in the Word, you're studying the Word, and you come to therefore, don't you ever start your Bible reading at the word therefore. Don't you ever start at a word like moreover or hence. I know we don't say hence very often, but if you're reading in the Word and it says hence or moreover or therefore, you got to stop. Don't go past this word while studying the Bible without asking a very spiritual and theological question. And what's the question? When you see the word therefore, here's what you should always ask yourself. This is very deep. You say, self, what is the therefore there for? I want you to think about that. What is the therefore there for? What am I getting at? Anytime you see a word like therefore, this word is pointing back to previous thoughts or ideals that were already spelled out in the verses beforehand. So, you've got to make sure you understand the context of what's going on here, or what's on the other side of the therefore won't make any difference to you, won't make it enough sense. You won't get the full picture. You've got to know what comes before the therefore. Let me say it this way. If you understand what comes before the therefore, then you can have and receive the benefits of what comes after the therefore. If you start reading in Romans chapter 6 at verse 12, at the word therefore, and you don't know what we've discussed in verses 1 through 11, then the power of what is about to come after the therefore will elude you and escape you. I'm not saying you won't get anything out of it, but you're not going to get the full effect, the full benefit. You're not going to get the full benefit package unless you find out what the therefore is there for. So when Paul begins verse 12 by saying therefore, we have to say, what was the therefore there for? What has come before this? And we know from the previous studies, in brief summary, what we have learned is that through Jesus Christ and His cross, we have had the sin nature powered down in our life. We've had the divine nature or the Holy Spirit implanted. Because God, in His mind's eye, combined us, joined us, merged us, made us one flesh with Jesus Christ when we came to Him in salvation and asked for Him to be our Lord. God combined us together with His Son. So, when God saw Christ dying on the cross for sins, we were merged with Him. That's why verse 3 says, those of you that were placed into Christ were placed into His death. Also goes on in verse 4 to say we were placed into His burial. We were also placed into His resurrection. The death for sin, the burial and the putting away of the body of sin forever, and the resurrection and newness of life. We were all pulled together with Jesus Christ in that, and so we receive all the benefits of what Jesus received in His body through that process. Because of that, we can go to verse 7 where we find out that anyone who has died or who is dead is freed from the sin nature. That's where we know we are no longer a master to the sin nature anymore. We've been freed from it. And because we are now free, we ought to live like free men. When Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, immediately it freed all slaves. Immediately, that executive order proclaimed that there was no longer a right for someone to hold another man or woman as property. They were freed. However, it took months for some of those, especially in the Deep South, to even find out there was such a thing as the Emancipation Proclamation. They were free, but they were still living and operating as slaves. You understand what I'm saying? Even though their freedom had been signed into action, they didn't know they were free because they had not been told, explained, taught. But it remains true that because we've accepted Christ and come to Him and we've been saved, that we have died with Him on Calvary in God's eyes, sins paid for, and anyone that is dead is freed from the sin nature. Then we go on to verse 11. Verse 11 tells us a first step on how we might live in that freedom. That is, by keeping it in our forefront, in our mind, that we are dead to the sin nature but alive to Christ. And then with all of that said, we get to verse 12 and we see the word therefore. Because of all of that, we now can move forward with this knowledge, with this understanding, with this accumulation of the truth. And we can see what the Bible says after the therefore. And this is why it's so good. You've got all this understanding now if you've been with us over these past few weeks in this study. And if you haven't, get on the internet site, truthinfusion.com, and you better get caught up on this. You need to know this word, not because it's me saying it, because it's the Word of God that sets the captive free. It's the Word of God that is alive and life-changing. You need to know what this chapter is all about. So you go catch up. All of the shows are there. All of them. You can listen to all of them, as many as you want. They're free. Then you can get to the therefore and go forward with us and know what is yours in Jesus' name. Therefore, let not the sin nature reign in your mortal body. Now, there's a lot to say about this. You see those two tiny three-letter words, let not. Let not. There is so much to say about these two little words. Now, in the Greek, when Paul wrote this, he wrote it in the Greek language, in Koine Greek. And when he wrote let not, looks simple enough to us. There's actually a whole lot more meat there than you realize, because let not in the Greek is written in a form, a grammatic form called a prohibitive imperative. Now you need to, you say, well, I don't give a rip about all that, David. Well, you need to. I'm going to tell you why. There's a lot to be said about these three letter words. The prohibitive imperative. Let me teach you a little Greek. All right, prohibitive. Prohibitive. It's where we get our word prohibit. And you hear it right in the word, prohibitive. Prohibit. It means that it's not allowed. Don't do it. This is prohibited. Got it? Imperative. I told you, let not is written as a prohibitive imperative. Imperative is a command. Command to act. So here's what we have here. Let not written in the prohibitive imperative. Prohibit means don't do it. Imperative means I command you. Here's what Paul was really saying. We don't read it this way because we don't read Greek anymore. He didn't just say, therefore, let not the sin nature reign. This is the better translation. Therefore, I command you, do not let the sin nature reign. See, now that's got a lot more punch, doesn't it? A lot more to say about this word, these two little words now. Let me say it again. Therefore, this is God speaking to us. Therefore, I command you, do not let the sin nature reign. Now, David, are you telling me that God has commanded us not to do this? That's exactly what the Bible says. So, David, how in the world can I do that? How can God command me not to do that? Let me tell you something I know about God, then we're going to go to break. God would not command you to do anything that He was not fully aware that you were capable of completing and doing to His glory. So, we got to figure out, how do we complete that command to not let the sin nature reign? You come on back in a minute and a half and we'll talk about it. Thank you.
Hey, this is Tim. I'm the youth pastor at Partnership Church. One of my favorite stories in the Bible can be found in the book of Genesis, starting in chapter 37. It is a story of Joseph the dreamer. In this story, we find a man who is called by God to do something great, but faced some pretty crummy situations along the way. Now, he doesn't receive his calling and immediately step into the promise of God. No, we find out he gets traded by his brothers, sold into slavery, wrongfully accused, and thrown into a prison where he spent several years. 13 years went by from the time that when Joseph was sold by his brothers until he was made overseer of Egypt. So, what am I trying to say? The Bible says in Genesis 39:2 that the Lord was with Joseph. That's right, the Lord was with Joseph even when it looked like God had forgotten about him. That means, child of God, God has a plan for your life. Maybe you're going through some times right now that just seem too difficult to bear. I want to encourage you by saying God is not through with you yet. He has a plan for your life. Surrender to his voice, trust in the promise found in Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave or forsake you. Visit us at partnershipchurch.com.
I have a little assignment for you. I want you to go to truthinfusion.com. If you look on the homepage, you'll see the area where you can put your information in to receive our monthly newsletter. Now, this will give you all the recent updates and the things going on in the ministry so that you'll know what to pray for and what to expect in the upcoming days and weeks from Truth Infusion. God bless you. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth. Therefore, the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 12, therefore, let not the sin nature reign. I just explained to you in the last few minutes before the break, the better way to translate this so that it means exactly what Paul wanted us to know would be to allow the Greek prohibitive imperative to come through in the English terms. And here's the best way we know how to say it. Therefore, I command you, let not the sin nature reign. God has given us a command to stop allowing the sin nature to be our master. Okay? Based on what? Based on verses 1 through 11 and all that we've learned about what happened at the cross, what Jesus has done for us, our position in the eyes of God, the fact that we are freed from the sin nature because we have died to sin. And died to the sin nature. Therefore, I command you, we must have the ability to accomplish this, don't you think? Would God command us to do this if we could not do it? No. He's a fair and just God. He would not put on anything on us that we couldn't accomplish. So we obviously can accomplish this command. The question is, how do we go about doing that? And I've already explained to you in the last few weeks, the problem we have with much of our teaching today in the Christian world, especially in America, is that we tell people what to do and what not to do, but we don't get to the hows. The Bible gives us the hows. We just have to disciple that into our believers. They need to know it. I command you, do not let the sin nature reign. Let me tell you about this word reign. This is painting the picture of actually a king sitting on his throne, reigning over the land that he is in charge over. A kingly exercise of power. And Paul is likening the sin nature to that king. Don't let the sin nature sit on the throne of your life. I command you, keep the sin nature off of the throne of your life. You see, the sin nature at Calvary became a dethroned king. Jesus himself kicked him off the throne of your life when you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. He booted the sin nature out. Out of the throne room, out of the castle, out of the kingdom. You have no claim to my child anymore. Get out. The problem is in the little word let. Do you see that? What great consequence this little three-letter word can have over us. Because Paul said, I command you, do not let. What does let mean? It means that we've chosen to allow it. Obviously, this is pointing toward a choice that you have, that I have. You can call it free will. You can call it the right to choose. Call it what you want. evidently you have the ability to make a choice. The problem is most of us don't understand this. We don't understand how to even go about this choice. So we live with the dethroned king allowed back into the throne room and back onto the throne of our lives. And we live as a master to our sin nature again. David, are you saying that even after I'm saved, behold, all things, old things are passed away. Everything has become new. The old man is crucified with Christ. Are you saying that I can become a subject to the sin nature like I was before I got saved? That is exactly what the Word of God is saying to you. Do you not see that? Therefore, I command you, do not let the sin nature reign as a king over your physical body. That's what it's saying. We choose to allow the dethroned king back into the castle, back into the throne room, and back onto the throne of our life so that he can begin, so that sin nature can begin exercising kingly reign over us. Now, when the sin nature sits back on the throne, who does that mean was kicked off the throne? Now, this ought to really break your heart, so to speak. When we allow the sin nature back on the throne, it's only because we have let the Holy Spirit be kicked off of the throne of our life. When Jesus booted the sin nature off the throne and forced him to become a dethroned king, he at the same time crowned the Holy Spirit the king of our lives. You see the picture that Paul has painted in this one verse. The Holy Spirit reigning over our heart and our lives allows us to live a successful, victorious, godly existence, to be more than a conqueror. The idea of greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. When the Holy Spirit is sitting on the throne room, the throne of your life, this is the life you're able to live. If you're not living that, it's only because we have let the sin nature reign. Okay, good. I hope I've made that point in such a way that it's clear to you, because it's so important. I can't stress how important that idea is. But let's go to the second half of verse 12. In fact, I'll go ahead and read the whole verse to you again. Therefore, and let me say it the way that God intended for us to see it, the way that Paul wrote it in the Greek, as best as we can do. Therefore, let not the sin nature reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So let's look at that you should obey it in the lust thereof. There's a really important word here I want to ask you a question about. What about the word it? Let not the sin nature reign, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. What does the it refer to? What do you think it refers to? Does it refer to the mortal body? Do not let the sin nature reign in your mortal body, that you should not obey it. Is it the mortal body, or is it the sin nature? What is it talking about? Actually, the word it here is a Greek pronoun that carries the same gender as its antecedent. Now, here's all that means. It is written in the same gender as the word body. So, it is not actually talking to the sin nature reigning. It's talking to the lust of our mortal body. The verse says, therefore, I command you, do not let the sin nature reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. Right? What it's pointing to is this. When the sin nature is reigning on the throne in our lives, then our bodies, our physical bodies, will begin to crave and lust after the things that sin nature is after. We begin to find ourselves back in a position where we are thinking about, looking at, going after those things that we thought we had conquered. Paul gives us a clue as to how to keep the sin nature off the throne here. This is a big how to do it part right here. He's letting us to know the sin nature itself is not a tangible thing. We can't see it. We can't touch the sin nature. We can't hear the sin nature. It is therefore kind of like it's cloaked. It's undercover. It's our undercover enemy within that we can't put our hands on. But our bodies, our physical bodies, are tangible. We can monitor it. We can touch it. We can see it. We can keep watch and we can guard over what our body is doing. Can we not? So what is Paul saying here? Here's a good clue. And verse 13 really begins to expound on it, but we're not going to talk about verse 13 today. But here's the introduction to verse 13, giving us a big tip on how to live free from the rule of the sin nature. Don't allow the sin nature on the throne of your life. Keep it off of the throne of your mortal body so that you don't begin to obey the lusts of your mortal body. And when the sin nature is in control, the lusts of your flesh will begin to present themselves. You will begin to desire after the things you shouldn't desire after, those ungodly things, those sin nature things. And when you start desiring after them, pretty soon you're going to allow your eyes to begin to see that which you should not look on. You'll begin to allow your ears to hear those things that you should be avoiding. You'll begin to put your hands on the things that God doesn't want you touching. Your body will begin to find itself in places you should not be, talking to people you should not talk to. The lust of your flesh will begin to rise up in you in such a way that your flesh will eventually, your body will begin to obey the commands of the King on the throne of your life. The Bible says that the mind of the flesh seeks after the things of the flesh, but the mind of the Spirit seeks after the things of the Spirit. So what do we need to do? Keep the sin nature off the throne so that we don't go after the sinful things with our mortal body. Keep the Holy Spirit on the throne so that the things our body craves and desires and goes after are the things of God. Don't let the sin nature reign. Keep the Holy Spirit, the divine nature, in charge so that ultimately your body will obey the Master. And we want to obey the Holy Spirit, not the sin nature, so that we find ourselves pleasing to God and victorious in this Christian walk. I'm telling you, buddy, that right there is powerful stuff. We need to grab a hold of that, ingest that, chew it up, swallow it. Let the Holy Spirit begin to make that known to your heart. Keep Him on the throne of your life, and your body will do the things that God wants it to do in Jesus' name. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.